proceeds go back to using some kind of a land class that identifies good farmland or good forest land, and tie to that so we know what we're talking about.
Representative Trahan, we had, and I will just mention this briefly, we had the other day someone from Linn County.
It's in 2295.
And there is a method that they are experimenting with right now called the LISA or LESA method. It certainly is not ready to use on a statewide basis or anything else. We are going to ask that Linn County, on their decisions under the current law, and then under that, because as I understand, that will be online in this, in the next 6 months. Is that right, Mark? Hopefully. That they look at the decisions that they make, and then also take those same decisions and see what the decision would have been under the new system. So we get an idea what would happen if you did use just the land classifications.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Trahan.
I did miss that testimony in committee. However, I did talk to the folks from Linn County, and am familiar with the LISA system. It certainly is an interesting concept. It's a much finer measurement of land classification than we presently have in the state. It also is going to cost a substantial amount of money to try to put that kind of system across the state of Oregon. I think it's cost a bunch of money in Linn County. And when you start going the rest of this thing, it's going to be very expensive.
I understand that they've already put in into a Senate Bill 2295 to a section that they shall study it. My understanding is that's something that may be required of all states for federal funds, too. So, I mean, I don't have any idea. I don't, you know, it's certainly not ready to be used on a statewide basis. So we're going with another test. Representative Parkinson.
Madam Chair, I'm going to make a suggestion that maybe could allow this bill to be compromised and proceed on through the process. And that would be, first let me ask you the question. The marginal lands portion of the bill is permissive?
Yes.
On the county government? The EFU portion is mandatory?
Yes.
My suggestion would be make the entire bill permissive on the part of local government. In other words, they can use this bill or not use this bill. Possibly you'd have a county or two that would use it. You'd have data then for the next legislative session to see whether you made a good decision. But the whole bill would be permissive, not just one part of it. I think maybe it's a Solomon-like approach to this mess.
Representative Hill.
That would, if the counties chose not to use the bill, it would leave them exactly where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we'll have the same kind of frustration that people have been harping about the entire testimony.
Madam Chair. Along the same line, same line. If it's a good bill, the citizens would be demanding of their county government that they adopt it.
Representative Prayer.
Madam Chair, and from my point of view, Representative Hill is correct. The only thing is, the way we've got this bill drafted at this time, they're just going to be frustrated anyway. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
As long as we're discussing the line, I've been kicking around an idea in my own mind that as long as marginal land is optional and EFU is mandatory, the same line of reasoning would be, in my mind, that if you exercise the option, then you had to take the mandatory EFU. If you did not exercise the option, you went by current law on EFU. I think that might be a middle ground somewhere.
Explain that to me.
It would be current law.
If you exercise the option to use marginal lands in your county, then you would have to take the new language in EFU, the type one. That's the trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
My county would examine it, and they say, yes, we have marginal land, so we want to use it. When we start using it, then we have to tighten up the EFU. Now, if we look at it, my county says, no, we didn't do anything for marginal land. Then we would go by current law on EFU rather than having to be locked in for the forever in EFU title. A lot of records and everything else.
I think that is a good discussion, and I would like to, first of all, go through the bill and do those things that we clarified. For example, we talked about the income test. I know Representative Parkinson, Representative Traynor don't like the income test, but I think if we're going to have it in here, whether it's optional or mandatory or either one, that we need to at least clarify and make it decent language as we go through this.
Madam Chair, let's make a stab at it.
And I would like to know, I can do it one of two ways. We can either call the roll or we can, if there's any objection to clarifying that it's income per year and that it's done on a calendar year and it's effective starting with January 1st, 1983, so we know it's a calendar year.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van
Loon. As we went through the bill, you asked us not to ask questions to save them until we went
right
back. Do you want us to wait till the page, till we get to the page they're yes on and call your attention?
Yes,
when you
please.
Get there?
Okay. Let's just get through this and clarify
like
and take care of the
house
language that we need to take care of.
Ask for objections first. On
okay. Is there any objections to clarifying this language?
No.
So
per year calendar year, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next motion will be to put in materially contribute.
I would ask you, and you can discuss it here, and Beth's here to help you. Representative Anderson is going to move that on line 11 between not and contribute that we put the word materially. So you'll be ready with a quick answer. Thank you. Meeting is in recess. Call the House. Back to order.
Whether we need to stay up
here. We have a request that.
I think it's my bills. Yep, there's almost chicken scratch.
That we have some suggestions from the people that were discussing this while we were out of the room. To look at a new direction, and that we skip over this place we were stuck on and contributed to a farm operation. Skip that and go on to the next section of the bill.
That doesn't answer the income question for the parcelization test, though, the contribute question. We've only solved half.
That's right. Representative Anderson? Do I have a motion from you that, for clarification purposes, on page 2, we use summit, so you have a line before the word cascade on page line 2 and on line 3, and that on line 4 you cross out the word all, and on line 5 you cross out the word counties and insert state. For clarification purposes.
If it's just clarification, I make the motion, I guess. I don't know what it does.
Well, when Elizabeth was going over the bill, she said, if east of the Cascade Range, I mean, you need sort of a line.
Well, we still want to discuss the rest, the other part of it, maybe the 5085, I suppose. Go ahead, that's fine.
Is there any objection? So ordered. Now, is there any discussion on that section?
That section, yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson. This time of day, I mean.
Sack over their head. question to Russ. Russ, in my district, not in my county, not South Salem or anything, but in my portion of the county, the Silverton Hills, all practical purposes, will all of it grow 85 cubic feet of wood a year or more?
Yes.
Thank you.
If there's going to be any marginal land in your district, Representative Parkinson, it'll be on the basis of the parcelization test, not on the productivity test.
Thank you.
What about on his soil classifications?
That's productivity. No.
Any further questions on that section?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I'd like to ask Representative Trahearne how 50 cubic feet would affect his county.
Madam Chair.
Representative Trahearne.
Wait 1 second, if you could. I think I saw in this stack stuff here, I had a relationship scale between cubic feet and the different site classes of forest land. I believe that was passed out at one point in the committee, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it should be in your rather large packet, and I think I grabbed my packet and took it up to the mic.
As I recall, 85 is the break point between site class 4 and 5. 50 must be the break point between 5 and 6. Or approximately at that point.
I couldn't quite hear you.
85 is the line between site class 4 and 5. Site class 4 is 85 and up, and site class 5 is less than 85. So 50 must be the break point between 5 and 6. I know there's been an attempt to always use a number that represents a break point between classes.
Madam Chair, while Representative Trahearne, unless he's found it.
I haven't, Madam Chair, but I'm going by memory, so it'll be a little bit out of line. I'm used to the Department of Revenue site classes, the F-series site classes. And I would think that, if I remember correctly, FF and below, FG and FX are 50 cubic feet or better. And I would think that most of the land in Josephine and Jackson County would not qualify under this either as far as the forest land classes. So I think we would be looking at the parcelization just much as they are. I may be incorrect on that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I guess to simplify this bill, I would move that 50 feet east of the Cascades, 85 west.
At the summit?
At the summit.
Any discussion?
Did you do?
He moved that we use 85 cubic feet west of the Cascades and 50 cubic feet east of the Cascades.
Madam Chair.
Of the summit of the Cascades. Representative Bradbury.
Well, it seemed to me that the figures we had arrived at were based on the kinds of productivity that existed on various sites. I mean, that was the basic purpose of them was to try to provide some kind of equity across the state in terms of what is or is not marginal. I mean, that was the goal of them. Now, have we had some testimony that I missed that says that, in fact, the timberland that we had called for the 50 cubic foot figure on is should be 85 because, in fact, a lot more of it's more productive than the statistics seem to show? I just haven't heard any testimony that would indicate that that was...
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I'm trying to sort it out in my own mind. Obviously, the first range is the rainforest and all of that, and does grow more timber. So if you're going to use that reasoning, then the coast range ought to be the one that ought to be down to 50 because it will grow land in poorer soil. And I think we had it reversed in our mind.
No. You're wrong.
Well, the coast range, I said. I didn't say Willamette Valley. I think we had it reversed in our mind as to what the test was. At least I think I did when we had our little pre-conference meeting the other day. That the coast can grow 85 feet quicker, obviously, than they can inland because of the rainforest.
Well, if you said 50 acres...
Inland.
50 cubic feet per acre on the coast, for example, there would be no land that would qualify.
Right.
Frankly, I've been talking to foresters down there at 85, there isn't much that qualifies under the classification.
Well, that's where I was confused. That's why I would say just make it 85, 50, and divide it down the crest of the Cascade.
Well, I guess the only issue in my mind would be my impression of the timber productivity in particularly Jackson and Josephine counties, which are significantly drier than even inland Douglas County. And I don't know. I'm just interested in what the productivity thing shows us. My impression is that they are lower, less productive timberland than, you know, up the valley or whatever. I mean, they are clearly less productive. I don't know where the break is, but I'm just trying to sort that out.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Representative Kringman.
Yep.
Excuse me for being slow in calling your name today.
Representative Bradbury is exactly correct. Jackson, Josephine County do not have the volume production per acre that the Willamette Valley certainly does in Lane County, and then it tends to slant down as you go through Douglas County, nor do they have the production that you do over on the coast. On the other hand, they probably have some better production than the eastern part of the state when you get over the Cascades. I don't know whether I'm comfortable with Representative Anderson's proposal or not. I really think we ought to look at, well, first I guess maybe the committee needs to decide whether we want to include any of this forest land in the capability of saying that it might be marginal land. If we in fact do, then we've got to set some kind of a scale, some kind of a level someplace, and we may want to vary it more than just the two regions, whether it be the crest of the Cascades or the crest of the Coast Range or whatever. I'd like to have a little more information on that.
According to this chart, Representative Trahearne, for what it's worth, Southwest Oregon, and I'm not quite certain of what counties that would cover, it's got down here the land that's in that 50 to 85 cubic foot is 213,000 acres, or 22%, falls in that category. If you get up to the 85 to 119, well, you'd have to figure everything below 85. I'm doing that right, Ed, aren't I? Which would be 4719. 66% falls below 85. 47 falls below. No.
That's not right. Are you on page 2 of the chart?
Yeah. Excuse me. 47, excuse me. 47% of the land, and this is. Well, this is non-industrial private lands. 47% of the land, if I'm reading this chart right, falls below the 85 cubic foot.
In what part of the state?
And this is in the Southwest Oregon, and 25% falls below 50. Am I reading that chart right, as far as I can tell?
I believe that's correct.
For a total below the 85, you'd have a total of 456,000 acres. And that's on the non-industrial private land.
Unfortunately, Madam Chair, I don't know I'm not sure just how much area they took into that Southwest Oregon, whether that would...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what counties that is, and if they use some counties that... I mean, your county may have brought that down or taken it up or skewed those figures considerably, because my understanding, not being that all that familiar other than my annual trips to Ashland, that is considerably different than some other southwestern counties.
It is, Madam Chair, and of course, I would guess that, for whatever it's worth, I don't know whether it's a good argument or bad, I guess it doesn't make any difference, I would think that probably Coos and Prairie counties were included in southwest Oregon as well, which are, you know, part of the higher growing coastal.
Right, that's what I'm saying, those numbers area. Could be fairly skewed because of that.
I think that looking at that chart and just making some very rough assumptions that the 85 would probably be more inclusive of a portion of that, and I wish I could tell you how much. I don't know.
Well, I don't have any problem if we would like to vote on Representative Anderson's motion, and then if you want our staff to get a forester and talk, for her to talk to him, I have the forester come before the committee tomorrow. What's your pleasure on that?
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Representative Anderson's motion is just the bill as printed with the insertion of the word summit on the two lines, is it not?
We've already adopted that. His motion would... See, right now we've got everything east of the Cascades is 50 cubic feet, and everything west of the summit of the Cascades, his motion would be to make that 85 cubic feet. Currently in the bill, you also have Josephine and Jackson County at the 50 cubic feet. He would make that 85 for them, and of Douglas County, he would make all of Douglas County 85, so you have a nice even split between the east and west, using the Cascade Ridge as the...
In effect, what he's been leading is Jackson Josephine in that.
Right, putting Jackson Josephine into the 85 instead of the 50.
Yeah.
Where are we back? And inland Douglas.
Yeah, right.
Where are we?
That's correct.
Call and say.
Dave Steers.
Dave Steers is here.
Hey.
Ask and you shall receive. I don't know. Welcome. We're still trying to figure out cubic feet here.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I guess one thing that we've kicked around is the increased or productivity in the rainforest coast range as against inland in southern Oregon. That's what we're sort of bouncing the ball around about. And we're talking about, you know, if we're going to use 85 in Lane County inland, is that in the forest areas, is that much different than Douglas, Jackson, and Josephine, or are we splitting hairs, or where are we?
Are splitting trees.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, for the record, Dave Steer, the State Forestry Department. As I stated once before, we feel that the area south of the Lane-Douglas County line is significantly different in the inland area, particularly from the rest of western Oregon. If we're down to splitting hairs, so to speak, there is probably a definable area in South Douglas County that's more like Jackson and Josephine than the north part of Douglas County is. The north part of Douglas County inland is as you suggest, Representative Anderson, more like Lane County perhaps than it is like Jackson and Josephine. As I stated before, I think the an appropriate split is the Lane-Douglas County line, and perhaps carving off the coastal area and Coos, Curry, and the western part of Douglas County, and including that in the northern, that western.
Any further questions?
Well,
Representative Parkinson.
Representative Bradbury is here now, so we'd probably like to know, Coos, Curry County, is it most of it grow 85 cubic feet or more per year? Coos, Curry?
Madam Chairman, Representative Parkinson, yes, most of Coos County is highly productive forest land. Curry County depends more on the soil and the rainfall type. Inland Curry County, it's much less productive.
inland, it gets to be very much like Jackson and Josephine. Yes. It's siskiyou soil types, and it's all national forest. So there will be no lot of records and no marginal land.
And Madam Chair, I will point out that some 70% of Josephine County as well is National Forest or BLM, so there's a lot of
background out there. Dave, maybe you could help us. We were looking at this non-industrial private land, so that's not national forest or state land, right?
That's right.
And you've got down here in Southwest Oregon. What counties does Southwest Oregon include?
Madam Chairman, that's Coos, Curry, Douglas, Jackson, and Josephine.
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Trahan.
Just off the top of your head, what's the total, we're talking about non-industrial private forest land in those counties?
Madam Chair, Representative Trahan, I don't have an idea right off the top. I didn't bring my material with me.
Well, down here it has all classes, 976,000 acres.
I found it.
And you have the difference here, if you use that line, it seems to me, if you use 50, you could have in those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 counties, 25% of the lands would produce less than 50 cubic feet. If you go to 85, you have 47% of the lands produce non-industrial private lands, or a total of 443,000 acres. What's the committee's pleasure?
Did Representative Anderson make a motion?
Representative Anderson has a motion on the table to make it 85 on the west side of the Cascades, 50 on the east side.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drew.
Call for the question.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative Trahan?
Aye.
Representative Drew?
No.
Representative Ben Lewin?
Aye.
Representative Anderson? Representative Bradbury?
No.
Representative Hill? Chair Hooley?
Aye. What's the vote?
4-4.
Motion fails. Elizabeth, the next problem was with the definition of contiguous and the word such. She's going to. On page 2, 11, 12, and 13. Lines 11, 12, 13.
The way it reads right now, if in determining whether or not you have one lot or parcel, you only look at the lots that are within the test area that you've drawn. If you should have a lot that's contiguous to another one that would otherwise fall within this definition and be only one lot, but it's outside of the test area, it wouldn't apply. And I've been told that that wasn't the intent, and so what I'm looking for is clarification. If you want, I can try and draw it on the board. And
would you do that?
Somebody else's.
This is your proposed marginal land right here, and it has, say, up lots around it.
Representative Van Leeuwen, would you just put the mic up? So, okay.
say your quarter mile went just like this. These two lots, the way the language is written right now, would be two different parcels, because even though they're contiguous, this one is not within the test area.
Okay.
What line, Jack? I don't think that is what red
no,
line.
Elizabeth, that would be within the test area.
It's opposite here.
The way I wrote the bill,
it would not. Okay, and that's what I'm asking is for confirmation that the intent was that it should be in the test area, and then I will change the language accordingly.
What page, what line?
Page 2, line 13, the word such.
No.
I didn't know anything from the diagram.
So the definition of contiguous, the reason we have that, in other words, we say that the parcelization test says you draw a quarter mile around the proposed marginal land, and then within that quarter mile you have to have 50% of